Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Fantasy Foot Beer Podcast. I'm James Kemp, joined as always by my good friend and fierce fantasy rival, Dr. Michael Stewart. And Dr. Stu, there's football on this weekend. There is college football. How do you feel about football being back?
I feel great about football being back, but I will feel greater about football being back when it's not just college football. I gotta be honest, I don't really care. Once they're graduated, then you can talk to me about being interested in their football exploits. Not now.
It's hard for you to learn to care because it's football and it's going to be on the TV and it's awesome.
Yeah, there's like a stripe. There's a stripe on the ball, and I'm not really interested in watching a stripe flash around as the ball is thrown through the air. Silly.
I'm sure that is the biggest thing you're concerned about.
It's like training wheels on your bike. Come on. Take the stripe out of college football. We're officially starting that platform. We're a pro removing the stripe from footballs in college football podcast.
What if I want to put a stripe onto the NFL football?
Then you're wrong, and I can't get behind this, and we're going to have real issues off camera. How are you doing, James? We're talking actual football here today. Actual fake football. How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing good. I had a nice day with my sister and her two kids came to visit today. We went into the city and got some stuff done and went to a nice lunch. And my niece and nephew are very cute young children, and I enjoy spending time with them. And I just spent a good amount of the last hour or so with Kelsey being at her work draft and getting actual live draft stuff happening and her asking me things. So she has refused to show me her final roster until she gets home. And I'm either going to see if my first draft of the year was a success or a failure. Of course, it wasn't my draft, but she did ask for my advice. So
it makes
it
yours.
Responsible.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's basically mine.
Well, question though, are they having that draft while they are all at work? Like, are they getting paid for drafting, or are they just staying after work and drafting?
That question probably is one that HR isn't allowed to know about, but they were drafting at work, yes.
I wish. I only mock draft at work.
It's awesome. When I was a little kid and my dad had his work fantasy drafts, I would go in with him to the work drafts. They'd have like big computer rooms and everybody'd do that, and they'd have Pizza King pizza. But that is a different thing for a different day. Today, we're mock drafting, Stu.
Mm-hmm. We sure are. We're not breaking down a division. It's mock draft season. We're going to talk about each of our picks. We're going to talk about every player that's relevant. And just to run us down the draft board, James, this is going to be a 12-team mock draft. This is going to be full point PPR. We are going to have one quarterback, two running backs, two wide receivers, one flex, one tight end. We are dispensing with the kickers and defenses, and we will have six bench spots. So all the good, juicy, non-defense kicker-related picks will be made today.
Mm-hmm. So before we get into that, we do have some news. But before we get into the news, Stu, what are you drinking this evening?
Well, I am actually not on my first beer. I went out to dinner with my wife and my mother, who dropped by to visit. And I had a Kolsch at dinner. But for right now, from Bell's, I am drinking the Flyover Light Lager. Again, I'm working through all the stuff that my best friends in the world just left in my fridge as they departed my home. And it's going to take me a while to get through all of that. I do like the Flyover. It's really, really good. And I'm interested in learning what you're drinking tonight, James.
So tonight, from Anaheim, California, from Bottle Logic Brewing, is the Bottle Logic Gold Squadron Pilsner. It is a 5.2% ABV Pilsner. And I gotta say, you know, Gold Squadron, we know what that is. That's a Star Wars thing. The art on the can, it's very Star Warsy. And my biggest question is how they're getting around Disney's very strict copyright laws. especially being in Anaheim, California. I wonder if they have some kind of deal with Disneyland or something to be able to get this thing done. But either way, I'm looking forward to trying it. So let's open these bad boys in 3, 2, 1. We'll see if it tastes like Star Wars. But while I'm trying to figure out what Star Wars might taste like, Stu, get us started with some news.
Yes, I think Star Wars would taste like, what are they called, Blitz Sticks? Or no, they're called Death Sticks. You know,
Blitz Sticks is Dungeon Crawler Carl, Stu.
You know what? I have certain likes and dislikes. Anyway, news. The biggest that is probably most pertinent to people, while nothing has been decided yet, Josh Jacobs has been charged with 2 misdemeanors, one for battery, and I think the other for property damage stemming from a recent dust-up. We are still waiting to hear if he is going to face legitimate suspension, but that is the reason why his ADP has been falling just a little bit. He's now entering probably the third round for people, and Marshawn Lloyd, the immediate backup in Green Bay, is getting a little bit more attention at the end of drafts. More positive news rather than domestic violence. We got Alec Pierce, the number one wide receiver for the Colts, just fresh off of his contract extension and an off-season ankle surgery, has been removed from the physically unable to perform list. So off the PUP list, is practicing, and that's always great to see. The piece of news that I was most surprised by, James, tell me if I'm wrong, but the Dolphins traded away a wide receiver. These people who are paying Tyreek Hill and Tua Tagovailoa, most of their payroll is players that don't play for them anymore. And they have now traded away Tutu Atwell, traded him back to the Rams for special teamer running back Jarquez Hunter. So that's an odd one. I can't really fix my mind about that. I didn't think that they had a decent room at all, and now they're subtracting from it. Longtime name Jonnu Smith, tight end, signs with the Packers. Get to talk about Tucker Kraft a little bit after you react to that piece of news, James, because that's not a great sign for Tucker Kraft. And the Voldemort has been named the starter in Cleveland. I refuse to talk about that because I don't want to. James, anything jump off the page at you from this news?
Yeah, so I'll just go down the board because I got thoughts on all of them. So Josh Jacobs, I believe they set his trial date for November, which if you are someone who has any familiarity with the sport of football, November is during football season. So that could potentially be problematic, and I can see why people might be a little bit timid on Josh Jacobs' situation. We have seen this same kind of situation get blown over and not be a big deal for a guy's fantasy football production. We have seen it completely derail people. Just kind of an unfortunate thing that the NFL seems to keep having problems with. So as far as Josh Jacobs go, it's another piece of risk that you take on if you draft him now in the third round. Without this situation, he's probably a second rounder, but we've known about this for a long time, and it's a bad thing. And I think we should all say, don't batter women, don't batter anyone. That's bad and stupid, and don't do it. Alec Pierce coming off the PUP list and finally starting to practice here 2 weeks before the actual start of the season is enormous. I don't think I can stress enough how much of a sigh of relief that should be for everyone around the Colts. Josh Downs hasn't had the best camp in the world, and everyone else in the Colts receiving circle was kind of feeling a lot of pressure around that. So Alec Pierce got paid, finally is able to practice. Now it's time to see what he is able to do. I would like to see what he looks like in the last little butt of camp that's left before saying put him above Josh Downs. Nothing has been said about him playing in the final preseason game for the Colts. We'll have to see. Dolphins, they're trying to lose. I think that much is obvious. They're trying to have the worst offense possible, because as we know, you cannot win if you don't score points. So, you know, avoid that. Jonnu Smith to the Packers. I had been targeting a lot of Tucker Kraft. This sends me strange messages that I don't like. Maybe he is not as healthy as we had been hoping he would be by this point in the preseason. Just keep an eye on it. I'm still taking Tucker Kraft as fifth or sixth tight end off the board. This does give me pause, but I don't think enough to keep me from drafting him. And there's no reason to talk about Deshaun Watson. But in other news, the Pro Bowl is dead. So Shedeur Sanders, the last Pro Bowler ever.
No one else was named the Pro Bowl last year.
He was probably the last person to accept the invite. So Shedeur Sanders, the last Pro Bowler ever. And that might be as much of an indication of what happened to the Pro Bowl as anything else. But Stu, I am ready to get into the meat and potatoes of our episode today. We are mock drafting. It looks like in this 12-person room, I will be taking the second position, and it looks like you will be in the eighth. Mm-hmm. You've already prefaced what the format is. Anything else we need to know before we get going in this 13-round draft?
Nothing. But I am hitting start, and you get to start us off with the second pick after Jahmyr Gibbs goes at the 1-1. Easy choice for you.
This is a pretty obvious choice for me. Obviously, I'm going to take Bijan Robinson. But I will say I thought Bijan Robinson would go first off the board, and if he did, I would have taken a good hard look down at Ja'Marr Chase with this being a true PPR league. But I'm not going to overthink it and take the money when it's presented to me.
All I heard there was that you are anti-Jahmyr Gibbs.
It's not that. I just like Bijan Robinson more, and Ja'Marr Chase is very, very good. Stu, you are on the clock after Jonathan Taylor, Puka Nacua, Christian McCaffrey, Ja'Marr Chase, and Amon-Ra St. Brown.
Yeah, I don't love it. All the running backs that I really like to take in the first round are now gone, so I will be deviating from my usual running back first, and I'm going to take the most valuable offensive player from last season, JSN or Jackson Smith and Jigba, wide receiver for the Seahawks. And it'll come around to me after CeeDee Lamb, Justin Jefferson, James Cook III, Saquon Barkley go to finish out the round one. AJ Brown, Drake London, wide receivers go off the board in the start of round two, followed by Chase Brown and Devon Achan. So as we look down here, there are a couple of little targets that I'm really, really partial to. I think where I'm going to go is just try to stay balanced at this point, because I've got a lot of running backs in Omarion Hampton, Kenneth Walker, Derrick Henry at the top of my pile. And then the wide receivers are down by George Pickens, Nico Collins, Rashi Rice, Malik Nabers. I like going running back right here. And of the three that I'm looking at, Hampton, Walker, and Henry, I go back and forth. I don't know if you do this, James, in your mocks, but I go back and forth almost every single day about how I want to arrange these guys. And right now, today, I am on the Hampton train. So I'm going to go with Omarion Hampton and send it your way, James, for your round two selection.
Yeah, I see Hampton as just being infinite upside, but there is a very considerable floor. But I think it's, you know, like top three, top four upside for him if he hits the way he should. After Stu's Hampton pick was Ashton Jeanty, Trey McBride, Kenneth Walker, Derrick Henry, and Josh Allen. So the two biggest onesies off the board. That's fine for me. I'm not really a guy who likes to target those guys that much. And there's lots of great options here for me at the end of the second round. I've got Brock Bowers sitting pretty here at the top of the board. Also, George Pickens, Nico Collins, could go Rashi Rice. I probably don't go any lower than that, but this is kind of telling me this is a great time to take a wide receiver, especially considering the guy in the first position took a running back, so he'll likely want to get one or both of those top two picks also. So I'm going to go for Nico Collins guessing that he continues on his tear that he has been on in recent years. So at the flip, there is Brock Bowers and George Pickens. I am here hoping that my next three top tight ends don't go in the next two rounds. And I'd really like to get a running back here. And I'm looking at Jeremiah Love or Kyren Williams, or I could go wide receiver and I could get Rashee Rice or Malik Nabers. Everyone here knows that I'm a big Rashee Rice believer. And knowing that Bijan Robinson has so much potential, I see Rashee Rice as being the guy that I want here. And I think I can get another running back in the next round that still has decent value. So I'm going to shoot for the moon with those two receivers.
I disagree with it. I would have got a Neighbors myself, but that's all right. You're a Rashee Rice believer, and I'm not. Heading down towards me, we pass Team 3 takes Jeremiah Love. Lamar Jackson goes crazy early, in my opinion. Neighbors, Kyren Williams, and then Chris Olave of the Saints, which is a real bummer because I wanted Olave to drop to me right here. And I could go basically anywhere. On the top of the heap is Josh Jacobs, Breece Hall. We got wide receivers, T. Higgins, Devontae Smith, Teterow McMillan, Ladd McConkey. There's just a ton of different ways that I could take this. I'm narrowing it down between two, and I don't love the Jets, but I do like Breece Hall. So I think I'm going to go ahead and get a second running back here, taking Breece Hall and avoiding the Josh Jacobs situation that I don't love. Although Javonte Williams was looking at me like the Green Goblin mask, and he goes to the next team directly after, followed by Colston Loveland, which is a bummer because I wanted Loveland with my next pick. Jacobs goes, and Devontae Smith goes to round out round three. Round four starts with Zay Flowers, followed by T. Higgins, Bucky Irving, and Teterow McMillan. Okay, so two running backs for me, Hampton and Hall. I also have JSN to lock down the wide receiver room. There's a couple different places I could go. If I don't take Warren here, I don't get Warren at all. And I think that I'm okay with that at this point. I think I'm okay throwing a tight end to be a little bit later. Going between the rest of the core positions, I'm deciding between Ladd McConkey and Jaylen Waddle. And I can't decide on how I like Ladd McConkey this year. We haven't talked about him, you know, too specifically outside of our divisional breakdown. But with Mike McDaniel coming in, seems like he should be on the ups, especially now that Keenan Allen is on the Indianapolis Colts. That said, I don't know if I want to depend on the Chargers as heavily as I currently am. So I think I'm going to roll with Jaylen Waddle, who's over there in Denver, and I think is going to have a great season. So off to you, James.
I like your logic behind taking Jaylen Waddle there. I was also thinking about, maybe he takes Tyler Warren there, but I think I totally agree with your logic. You're not going to see Tyler Warren again, but getting a shot at like a Tucker Kraft or a Harold Fannin, one or maybe two picks later, I like that.
It feels fine.
Risk. So, yeah, and Waddle, big upside pick too. After Stu went Ladd McConkey, Emeka Igbuka, Tyler Warren, Travis Etienne, and Cam Scadabo. So a few guys I was hoping would fall did not. I was hoping really that both Travis Etienne and Tyler Warren would fall to me there at the end of the fourth round, and that did not happen. So if I still want to try and get a running back, because I know that I'm not going to need to take a tight end because the other team past me already has Bowers, I should take the best running back available. So the question is here, is that David Montgomery? Is that Travion Henderson? Is that Quinshon Judkins? Is that G'Andre Swift? I think it could be Bashaul Tuten, but I think he could also drop. So I think that I am going to take, against my better judgment, Travion Henderson. I'm not a big believer in him as I'm not a big believer in him in his system that he's in, but I am a believer in him as a player. So I think if anything happens to Ramondre Stevenson, then Travion Henderson goes gangbusters. So I've now got my core four of Bijan Robinson and Travion Henderson as my running backs and Nico Collins and Rashee Rice as my receivers. I really like that. So now what I would normally say is win the flex, but I could go quarterback. We got Joe Burrow sitting there. We've got Jaden Daniels, who I am not interested in. Caleb Williams a little bit further down. None of those really call to me, given how I'm seeing the quarterback position playing out this year. Could also go receiver. Devontae Adams had a great season last year. Luther Burden, a possible breakout season loading. Terry McLaurin and DJ Moore both looking at possible rebounds. So I'm not presented with any home run picks here, but I do like a few of these guys. I do like Devontae Adams. I do like Quinshon Judkins. I think David Montgomery is a potential landmine this year, despite very high volume early in the season. I don't think he sticks with it. I'm going to take the young Quinshon Judkins and kind of ignore some of the problems that are around him. Two guys there I took that I believe in the player more than I believe in the situation. And after me went Luther Burden, David Montgomery, Joe Burrow, Devontae Adams, Terry McLaurin to get us back to Dr. Stu.
Yeah, I wanted Joe Burrow, gotta be honest. Again, I'm very, very balanced. Two running backs, two wide receivers at this point. Could go for the flex. I could reach for Tucker Kraft potentially here in round five. There's still Sam Laporta and Harold Fannin around, and I'd be fine with either of those two options. I wouldn't be enthused, of course, but I think I can push it one more round and see if one of those, or all three of them, land in the sixth round coming back to me. So, looking to get the flex, there is Jalen Hurts available. I think that there are too many quarterbacks that you can get a little bit later that I'd rather, like James or James said, win the flex. So, on the top of the stack, we got DeAndre Swift, always reliable. We got DJ Moore, JMO from Detroit, that's Jameson Williams. We even have Mike Evans, or if you're a big believer in Bashaul Tutin, he is there as well. And I'll tell you, I'm not too worried about my choice. I'm going to go with DJ Moore as a veteran on a very good offense, should be the primary target. I'm excited to see what he does in Buffalo. Things have picked up for him as far as the buzz coming out of, you know, training camp. As we round the turn, we just lost Sam Laporta, Carnell Tate goes, Jalen Hurts, and DeAndre Swift. That ends round five. Bashaul Tutin and Jameson Williams start off round six with Rome Odunze and Mike Evans following. So Harold Fannin and Tucker Kraft both fell to me, which is awesome. There's even Caleb Williams if I wanted to go quarterback, or if I wanted to start filling out my bench, there's people like Jadarian Price, Christian Watson, which is one that we're excited about. I'd go down to maybe get Brian Thomas Jr. or Marvin Harrison if we think they're going to bounce back. But I'm going to stick to my guns and go with Kraft and feel pretty good about that. James, following me, it's Jadarian Price, Jaden Daniels, Parker Washington, Christian Watson, and Jalen Warren to come to your sixth pick. Excuse me.
And I think I lucked out with which tight ends got picked there. Sam Laporta going in the fifth round, who I do not believe in at all. And then you took Tucker Kraft, who I would have liked to have, but I look at Harold Fannin as being pretty similar. So I am excited to be able to get Harold Fannin in the next round, because again, the guy who's picking at the actual flip as team one already took Brock Bowers. So I don't have to worry about that. I also don't have to necessarily push a quarterback because he also already has Drake May, but he does definitely need to take a running back. I don't. I can take a receiver. I can take a tight end. I can take a quarterback. I don't have to feel pressured by his strategic whatever you have here. My first instinct is to go ahead and jump on Harold Fannin here. There's also some other good position players like, well, actually, there aren't any good position players. I'm glad I jumped on that when I did. So I'm going to take Harold Fannin and feel good about that as he takes RJ Harvey, who I think could be an underrated pick this year, and Marvin Harrison, who I'm a little bit sour on. That brings me to my pick in the seventh round of this 13-round mock draft. I need a quarterback. I need a bench wide receiver to possibly come in and play flex. I need depth all around. So, guys, I'm looking at Caleb Williams jumps off the board right now as my starting quarterback. I also like Dak Prescott this year. I think he's been an underrated fantasy football asset for a long time. I'm seeing Cortland Sutton, who I also think isn't going to go away despite the presence of Jalen Waddle. And you also got guys like Michael Wilson and Mekhi Lemon if he ever is healthy. But I like Caleb. I'm taking the Iceman. And after me goes Kyle Pitts, Brian Thomas, Rico Dettel, Chuba Hubbard, and DK Metcalf, taking it back to Stu.
Yes, so at this point, there are still enough quarterbacks that I feel confident that I can get one a little bit later. There is still Dak, Justin Herbert, Jackson Dart, Trevor Lawrence, Patrick Mahomes, Bo Nix, Matthew Stafford, Brock. There's so many. There's a lot. And people have not started taking second quarterbacks, thank goodness. So I am going to push that a little bit. I want to get depth, and I want to get depth in particular at the running back position, because I think after maybe one or two more names go, it's going to get pretty thin pretty quickly. And I like a little bit more of the wide receivers that you can get a little bit later, especially I already have three on my roster as to the two running backs I currently have. So looking at the running backs, I got to be honest, James, I'm going to take the counterpart to one of your backfields. And I'm going to take Ramondre Stevenson. I'm going to vomit in the back of my mouth to do it. But I think when push comes to shove, I think the Patriots prefer having Ramondre Stevenson on the field. In critical situations, he's going to be on the field and Trevo is not. I do not think that Stevenson is a better running back than Henderson. But I do think that he is going to be a little bit more valuable than I think a lot of people give him credit for. So I'm going to go ahead and lock in Stevenson. After me, a couple of quarterbacks go, Dak Prescott and Justin Herbert. Michael Wilson and Cortland Sutton round out round seven. We begin round eight with Tony Pollard. George Kittle goes, J.K. Dobbins, and then the currently injured Jordan Tyson goes as well. So at this point, I'm feeling a touch more pressure to take a quarterback. Looking past, there's only one other team that needs one, so maybe I will push it to round nine. I mean, I'm feeling lucky. I feel a little bit lucky. So I think I'm going to go for depth a little bit more. And let's see here. I think some of these wide receivers look a little bit more attractive to me than the running backs. You can take home run swings on a running back a little bit later as your RB4 or 5. I think that I am going to pull the trigger on Michael Pittman Jr., who I think will really vibe with Aaron Rodgers in Pittsburgh as a kind of more PPR darling, less of a downfield threat that DK Metcalf will fill that role. After I selected Michael Pittman Jr., Travis Kelce goes, Blake Corum, that's Mekhi Lemon from Philadelphia goes next, Dalton Kincaid, and Chris Godwin Jr., who is getting ungodly amounts of hype for some reason. I never understand it. James, it is time for your eighth pick.
All right. So I have my starting lineup picked. I really need depth at receiver, and I would like more depth at running back because I don't necessarily believe in either of the running backs I picked after Bijan Robinson, being Trevion Henderson or Quinshon Judkins. But there are a few guys who I do feel pretty good about. I feel good about at the receiver position, seeing a potential swing with Alec Pierce now that he's off the PUP. I see Stephon Diggs, who could be a big swing. I see my lovely, esteemed broccoli, Jacoby Myers. I'm looking at Huge. Quentin Johnson is having a good day. But I'm going to ignore that, seeing how many names at receiver I like coming after that. And I'm going to get a guy who I have higher on my list than most people do, and that is Kyle the Fun Guy Manungai. We're having fun over here, and I'm excited about that. And at the turn, the guy just decided to cover all of his bases in Indianapolis. He took Josh Downs and Alec Pierce. So makes my decision not necessarily easier, but a little bit less blue. So I'm definitely taking a wide receiver here. Could be Stephon Diggs, could be Jacoby Myers, could be Quentin Johnson. I think I'm going to take Diggs. I haven't seen rankings markets really adjust that sharply to him signing in Washington, but I think that he has the potential to make an impact in Washington this year. He is on the older side, but he's not ancient or anything. He still looks good, and he could just be a swing there. So immediately after him goes Jordan Addison, Jackson Dart, Jonathan Brooks, Matt Stafford, Trevor Lawrence, and Stu is on the clock.
I pushed it too late. Oh my God. I pushed it one round too late. If you're taking backup quarterbacks, come on. If you took Lamar Jackson in round three, you are not starting Jackson Dart ever. It doesn't even matter. Patrick Mahomes is still on the board. I'll just take him. After Patrick Mahomes goes Jake Ferguson, Jaden Reed, Isaiah Likely, and Bill Kroski Merritt. Starting round 10, we have Jordan Mason, Huge, Jacoby Myers, and Kenny Gainwell. I've been snaked twice, James. I wanted Trevor Lawrence, and I wanted Kenny Gainwell. That's just depressing. Okay, so now I have to reset. Again, I'm going for depth. I don't really feel the need to get depth at quarterback at this point. While I could definitely find something later on. I'm pretty strong at wide receiver with Jaxon Smith-Njigba, Jalen Waddle, DJ Moore, and Michael Pittman. So I could look there, but I'm going to look at these running backs a little bit more sharply. And wow, there's not a whole lot here that I'm super interested in. The best on the pile is Aaron Jones. So I'm not super thrilled about taking that. I'm going to go and talk about wide receivers then. I'm going to take a fifth wide receiver. There's several here, just like James was saying, several here that could be quite beneficial. I am going to go ahead and take one of the most popular rookie picks, I feel like, out of the wide receiver rooms, and that is Dejon Stribling from San Francisco. And after that goes White from Washington, running back from Washington. That's Rashad White, Casey Concepcion, Bo Nix, Wandale Robinson, and Brock Purdy as well. To leave it to James on his 10th pick.
You know, I know you feel like you got sniped there specifically on the quarterback pick, but that would have gone exactly how I would have hoped it would go if I were you. I would have loved to somehow luck into Patrick Mahomes there. And even after that, getting so many young rookie wide receivers available for you to be able to get Dejon Stribling, that's nice. So, with myself on the board, right now we're mostly, with these last four picks, it's entirely just depth. I'm satisfied with the onesies I've had. I'm not going to double up. So, I am looking for flex guys to be able to fill in and hopefully get some big ceiling plays. So as I said last week, usually in this position, I'm looking at guys who have clear paths to production and could possibly be home run swings. Aaron Jones doesn't really say that to me. Jordan Mason, however, with Aaron Jones having a lot of years on those tires, could potentially be stepping into something big. Matthew Golden, if I didn't just fully not believe in him at all, would be a good selection there. And then we got Deebo Samuel in his return to San Francisco. Man, it gets pretty thin after that. I'm gonna get Deebo. I'm stocking up on old receivers.
You sure are.
With Stephon Diggs and Deebo Samuel there. Immediately after that goes Jared Goff and Aaron Jones. So I didn't really lose anything in that flip. Stu, I know you're high on Xavier Worthy, who is questionable at the moment. But I'm really going to kind of dig deep here and try to get anything I like out of this. And I do see someone who I'm quietly targeting a lot, and that is a guy who becomes hugely valuable if and when Cam Scataboo hurts himself, and that is Tyrone Tracy. So I'm feeling good about sort of good about the way that round went. After Tracy goes Rondé Gadsden, Dallas Goedert, Matthew Golden, Romeo Doubs, and Mark Andrews to get back to Stu. Mm-hmm.
Any worries about Najee Harris being signed in New York to threaten Tracy?
None. No. No.
That's fair. Okay. So I'm feeling pretty weak at the running back position. Only have three, with my immediate backup being Ramondre Stevenson. So I'm going to take somebody no matter what. And like I said last round, there's just not a whole lot here that I am excited about. So I'm making the best of a bad situation. There's people like Chris Rodriguez in Jacksonville, if Tootin does seem to falter in his second year. Zach Charbonnet is available, though he is not going to be healthy to start the first few months of the season. There's the guy that I am eventually going to take as I continue this little blurb. And this is a guy that James is I feel like you're high on, or at least higher on at this point in the draft. And that is going to be Woody Marks out of Houston. The compatriot, I guess we can call him, of David Montgomery down there in Houston. So Woody Marks is going to be my running back four. After that goes Khalil Shakir, Chris Rodriguez, Xavier Worthy, Hunter Henry rounds out round 11. My man Baker Mayfield goes in round 12, followed by Algier, Charbonnet, and Jacoby Lane, the wide receiver out of Baltimore. Now, my tight end is Tucker Kraft, who did just get Jonnu Smith signed and is being talked about as a pitch count. So while I don't normally do something like this, I feel good enough about the depth at all of my other positions. There's not a whole lot of quarterbacks that I'm going to be starting over Patrick Mahomes. I don't really feel the need to carry a second quarterback, especially when they're going to be the likes of Jordan Love or Kyler Murray or Sam Darnold. I mean, I could find somebody on waivers if I really need it. So I'm going to go and have a bit of depth at a onesie position for the tight ends. And there's several different ways that I could go. It's really just throwing a dart at the board and seeing if it's going to land in the first few weeks of the season. And I don't think that there's any other dart throws that I like too much better than the unknown of having Chig Okonkwo sign in Washington for a pretty big contract, a nice guarantee. I'm going to go ahead and put Chig on my team. The only other ones that I was considering would be Hockenson or Brenton Strange. But after I take Okonkwo, there's Jalen Coker, the wide receiver from Carolina, goes. Rashid Shaheed from Seattle. Then another tight end, Kenyon Sadiq, the rookie tight end for the Jets. After that, the second B. Robinson from Atlanta goes, and as well, Alvin Kamara goes. So, James, you got two more picks and you're done.
All right. Unlike in my last round, I have already decided who I'm going to take with this next pick. And I have two guys left at the end of this draft that I have been targeting a good amount. I'm going to take one and hope the other gets to me. Both of them running backs. The first guy I want is a guy who has one very clear bell cow in front of him, who has already experienced some injury problems during the preseason. I cannot think of why he wouldn't be going higher in this format. I like, and this guy has had a very good preseason of his own volition. I'm taking out of Las Vegas, Mike Washington. So then at the turn goes Brenton Strange and Denzel Boston. Denzel Boston, another guy who I've been looking at a little bit, but he's not the guy I want. The guy who I'm going to take here is a guy who becomes extremely valuable if the two guys above him, who neither necessarily look, you know, dominant at most points, if both J.K. Dobbins and R.J. Harvey just completely are irrelevant, then Jonah Coleman, a rookie for us, instantly becomes extremely valuable. So targeting rookies late, Jonah Coleman joins my team in the last position. So immediately after that goes Tajay Spears, Cyrus Allen, Travis Hunter, T.J. Hockenson, and Jordan Love, getting us to Stu's last pick.
Yeah, I was going to take Jonah Coleman if you didn't, or if he fell to me. I'm wide receiver, running back. It doesn't matter a whole lot to me at this point. There's a couple different things that I'm mildly interested in at the running back position, but nothing that's, you know, leaping off the page. I mean, there's Marshawn Lloyd if we wanted to talk about that and get a little bit of gamesmanship in here, thinking that Josh Jacobs is going to be suspended. I'm not convinced he's going to be suspended. I am going to take a swing on Keenan Allen, actually, just here at the end of the draft. As a full PPR league, Keenan Allen is still an excellent wide receiver. He's just old. So we'll be able to see how he starts the season in Indianapolis, and I can cut bait with him if need be. To round out the draft, we have Kyler Murray, A.J. Barner, Tank Bigsby, and Tank Dell is Mr. Irrelevant, the final selection made in our 12-team PPR mock draft. James, why don't you take us 1 through 13, read out your roster just to remind us and talk about anything you're excited about, what surprised you that you got in what place, that sort of stuff.
All right. So my 13 that I drafted were Bijan Robinson, Nico Collins, Rashee Rice, Travion Henderson, Quinshon Judkins, Harold Fannin, Caleb Williams, Kyle Manungai, Stephon Diggs, Debo Samuel, Tyrone Tracy, Mike Washington, and Jonah Coleman. Things that surprised me. I guess really not a lot. I've been seeing a lot in my mock drafts, tight ends lasting a lot longer than I think they actually will in most live drafts. That was pretty consistent with what I saw here in this one. Trey McBride and Brock Bowers were both second rounders. That's about what I expected. Colston Loveland went in the third. I would have really not been surprised to see Tyler Warren also going in the third. And I've been seeing him in different mocks and simulations going in the fourth or fifth. So seeing all those guys when they did does not surprise me. I am a little surprised with the distribution of quarterbacks throughout this draft. So Josh Allen, I think, went entirely too early. I think this has been a season when a lot of people, at least in mocks and live mocks that I've seen, people have been adjusting to the market of quarterbacks, knowing that they can wait a little bit. So I haven't seen Josh Allen going that early that often, and I have not seen Lamar Jackson or Drake May going that early either. And especially those first three guys going and not creating a run, that did surprise me. I would have expected Joe Burrow, Jalen Hurts, and probably Caleb Williams to go pretty quickly after that. And Caleb Williams fell to me in the seventh, which I feel really good about. Stu?
Yeah.
Any things that surprised you about the way this draft went?
Well, I'll go down 1 through 13. I started off in the first round with Jaxon Smith-Njigba, followed by Marion Hampton, Breece Hall, and then Jalen Waddle to keep me pretty balanced. And with the veteran presence, DJ Moore. And then got Tucker Kraft in the sixth, followed by Ramondre Stevenson, Michael Pittman Jr. Patrick Mahomes fell to me after that round of backup quarterbacks went. Then I went and got Dejon Stribling, Woody Marks, Chig Okonkwo, and Keenan Allen rounds out the end of the draft. And there are just a couple of different things that I wish could have gone a little bit differently for me in this. Things like Colston Loveland making it to the fourth would have been amazing. Of course, I kind of like Trevor Lawrence, and it seems like you're a Patrick Mahomes guy, so I ended up getting your guy rather than the guy that I like. But I got a couple gold nuggets in there. I do think Ramondre will be beneficial to fantasy teams this year, even if he's not exactly, you know, a flashy sort of player. Michael Pittman Jr., I think, is a value at his position. And Dejon Stribling, if he can continue his preseason prowess, he's being targeted on something like 53% of his routes in the preseason, which, of course, is a small sample size. But any sort of rookie coming into a Kyle Shanahan offense and immediately producing is going to be money in the bank. So I'm reasonably happy with things. My third round pick in Breece Hall, I was between him and Javonte Williams. I'd been fine with either there, but I also wouldn't have been super excited for anyone there. And I feel like if you're not excited about your first three or four picks, then the game and the team just feels a little bit off to you. So while I'm reasonably happy with the team, I think a couple of things could have gone my way, and I'd have been a little bit more excited about it. But some things, I mean, Loveland went higher than I thought he was going to. Lamar Jackson went way higher than I thought he was going to. We had Dalton Kincaid taken in round 8. I'm not sure why that was a thing, but there aren't too many teams as I look around that I like too much better than my own. So I guess there's something to be excited for about that, James. But that's it. That is a 12-team PPR mock draft. We're feeling good.
Yeah. So, Stu, I don't know if you've looked at it, but we did this mock draft on Sleeper, and it does simulate projected week one points. Stu, which team, first, have you looked at the simulated
week one points? No, I have not looked, not looked at anything yet.
And two, which of these teams, just on eyeball test, do you think would be projected the most? And then two, which of our two teams do you think would be projected the most?
I do kind of like Team 11. Cook, Jacobs, followed by Drake London, T. Higgins, Jameson Williams, George Kittle's in there too. I kind of like that. Otherwise, I would say one of our two would be the highest. I don't like any of the other ones that much. I guess Team 5, McCaffrey plus Walker plus Neighbors plus Warren plus Burrow, Washington. His wide receivers are weak, but it's not so bad. And he took Travis Hunter in a fantasy draft, which is a mistake. But I would say one of us two, Team 11 or Team 5, I think are the strongest.
Yeah, looking, I think that, you know, there isn't really a complete team to be found here. I do like both of our teams. I think maybe like Team 10 isn't too bad. I'm not in love with the Justin Herbert pick at the 7th, but Team 11 does look pretty good, as you said, with Cook, Jacobs, London, and T. And Team 12, you know, if they hadn't punted on tight end until the 11th round and hadn't waited to take Baker Mayfield in the 12th, that could have been a good team as well. They've got Saquon, DeAndre Swift, Bashaw Tutin, A.J. Brown, Devontae Smith, and Zay Flowers. That's a very solid lineup, I think, but, you know, no onesies to speak of. But the team that this system projected as the best team was Team 1, which had Drake May, Jahmyr Gibbs, R.J. Harvey, George Pickens, Garrett Wilson, Marvin Harrison Jr., and Brock Bowers, and that was also the team that took both of those Colts receivers.
Yeah, they have three running backs, and two of them are R.J. Harvey and Aaron Jones.
Yeah, that doesn't scream power. Anything good. But of the two of us, Stu, which did you think would be the winner between our two?
I got to give it to me. I like my team better than yours, no offense.
Well, I like my team better, and so does the system.
Whatever. Just because you got Robinson.
Projecting 97.8 to your 94.1. It actually had you as the second lowest.
You are very reliant on the Browns, and I don't love that you're reliant on the Browns.
Yeah, I also noticed that and don't love that, and yeah, that feels kind of gross. But that is our first on-air mock draft of the season. Stu, closing thoughts.
Yes, reach out to us on socials, Instagram, X, Fantasy Footbeer on both platforms. We do take beer requests and questions at fantasyfootbeer@gmail.com, as well as our website, fantasyfootbeer.com, where you can read blog posts, see rankings from James, hang out, ask us questions, interact with us. We want to hear from people. Tell us how your real drafts are going, because it's draft season is in full swing, like you said, James. I mean, Kelsey is drafting, you know, right now at her work league. So hopefully she did quite well. I'm sure she did since you were guiding her. But excited to have a couple more episodes before the real season starts. We don't have a whole lot of time. Why don't you take us home for the evening?
All right. And I do have one of my big drafts tomorrow, so I'm excited about that. And all of you, if you are excited about the teams that you're drafting, let us know. Send us your rosters. If you've been listening to us throughout the offseason, I'm sure that you've all done fantastic so far, and we will tell you that. Or maybe you have completely ignored everything we've said, and we will roast your rosters on air. Are we mean enough to do that? Is that a thing that we would do?
I don't think so, because my whole name is out there, and this is not my day job.
I think, Stu, if you drafted a team that I thought was necessary to clown on, I would I would roast that on air, but I don't think I'd do that to any of our loyal listeners who we appreciate so much. With every single listen, we like give it a little hug and a kiss. Not you, but your listen. We do that too. So, everybody, good luck this weekend. It's time. Take it seriously, but have fun with it. Stay loose. Don't overthink it. Stick to the plan or not. Do what feels right in the moment. We are with you every step of the way. If you need our advice, listen to as many of our episodes as you can. I'm sure that your leagues will pause their drafts for you so you can listen to 30 to 45 minutes of Fantasy Foot Beer and get the information that you need before you take your next pick. So for all of us here at Fantasy Foot Beer, for Dr. Michael Stewart, for Pixel the Cat and Indie the Dog, I'm James Kemp. Good night. Good talk.